Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV each and every week at this time, broadcasting from central London. This is the big conversation. This is the great debate, but it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why I need your calls on 0044-208-6014-555 or 0044-780-00-8066 for SMSs. You can even leave me a voicemail on 0044-203-070-2522. I've just got off a plane from Casablanca, where I've been leading the great British aid convoy bound for Gaza through Morocco. On Saturday, the convoy will cross, God willing, into Algeria, a border which has been opened specially for Palestine. It's normally closed. Then it's Tunisia, then it's Libya, then it's Egypt, then, God willing, and other things falling into place, it'll be Gaza in the first part of the month. Since I've been away, the British national debt has doubled to £2 trillion. I don't know what happened. I turned my back and we doubled our national debt. And elections are in the air. Hugo Chavez just won his 20th election victory in the referendum in the last few days. Hugo Chavez is therefore the most popular, most elected politician in the world. Benjamin Netanyahu is not quite so popular, but it looks like he's the next prime minister of Israel. There's elections coming up in Iran. There's elections everywhere, maybe also in Britain before very much longer. So let's take your calls, your SMSs and your emails. And the SMS and emails come up on the comment wall behind me. Let's see what we've got as a first one. Make sure your country's up here. We want all the countries of the world up here. This one from South Africa, Ishtiaq Ahmed Ismail. Wouldn't it make more sense to have voice recordings as opposed to live calls? This would allow you to sift out the long, time-consuming calls and those which have no relevance to the programme, like that caller who asked if you were Muslim. Well, I think that's a very interesting point, Ishtiaq. Maybe we'll have a look at that. We're all the time trying to improve the programme and we like constructive comment and suggestions like that. We'll maybe give that a try. You can, of course, leave me a voicemail on 0044-203-070-2522. If more people do that, maybe we'll play more of those. Thanks very much for that, Ishtiaq. Let's go back to the comment wall, take an SMS now. This one from Scotland. South Africa to Scotland. M. Wilson, Lord Pearson and Baroness Cox are members of that side of the other place. The other side of the house should invite an elected member of the Palestinians to give a lecture. The same birds would be singing a different tune. Very good point. This is a reference to the hate preacher, Geert Wilders from Holland, a member of parliament for a far-right party, who was invited into the House of Lords to abuse Muslims and traduce Islam. Not many people turned up to hear it, but it got lots of publicity because the British Home Secretary banned him from coming into the country. I originally supported the Home Secretary's decision, but I think on reflection it was probably a mistake, maybe honestly made, but a mistake in any case. Let's take an email on the comment wall. Where's this one from? Australia, my goodness. Steve L, do you know why Israel's part of the Eurovision and generally EU international soccer, etc., and generally part of EU representation? And two, when do you think there will be real elections in Egypt, as this will be absolutely important for the Palestinians having a better understanding of the real issues in Palestine, not Israel? Well, very good points, Steve. The only punishment Israel ever faces for its international crimes, which have been now more than 41 years in existence since they refused to obey international law to withdraw from the occupied territories it took in 67. The only punishment they've ever been made to face is to participate in the Eurovision Song Contest. If you've ever heard the Eurovision Song Contest, you'll know that that is punishment, but it doesn't quite fit the crime. And Israel is treated more or less as an extended member of the European Union. As to elections in Egypt, well, maybe I'll take a self-denying ordinance on that point. I'm headed for Egypt, and I hope through Egypt into Gaza just in the next few days. But I think if you look back at YouTube, you'll hear all I have to say about Egypt. Let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from? Hello.
Hello, I'm calling from Dagenham, Essex.
Welcome, very welcome.
Yeah, how are you, Doug?
Very well, thank you so much.
Yeah, just I love your program.
Thanks, my friend.
God will bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Continue your struggle, and I hope everything will be okay with people of Palestinian.
That's what we're hoping and working for, too. Yes, thanks very much, Carl.
Have they gone already to Gaza?
Yes, we're now in Fez, in Morocco. And on Saturday, we'll be traveling across the border, which has been specially opened for the convoy, into Algeria. Now, Press TV has a camera crew all the time with the convoy. I must say they're doing a wonderful job. They're making a wonderful documentary, but they're also doing live and other recorded news packages. So stay tuned to Press TV, okay, and you'll get the best coverage of this enormous project.
I wanted to join your crew traveling. The police arrested them, and they just released them.
Yes. Well, let me deal with that, if I may. If you go to our website, vivapalestina.org, vivapalestina.org, you'll see what I have to say this evening about the fact that the last three of those who were arrested have been freed without charge. That means that nine innocent men on their way to join an aid convoy to Gaza were arrested. Publicity was spread throughout the British and world media by the authorities, implying that there was some kind of terror link to our aid convoy, and it all turns out to have been completely false. And this is a very serious matter. So serious that the police have flown the original six to Marseille so that they could cross to Tunisia and catch up with the convoy. That's how guilty the police are feeling about having disrupted our convoy. And these three now have been released, and I hope they'll follow us as quickly as possible. But I have written to the Home Secretary and the Chief Constable of Lancashire demanding an explanation as to all this, because the suspicion must arise, unworthy maybe, that this was deliberately timed to cause damage to and embarrassment to the Viva Palestina aid convoy. We certainly lost a great deal in fundraising in the hours and days that followed these arrests. Our income fell by 80% following the news of these terror arrests, which turned out to have been completely baseless. Now, anyone with any sense knows that it's in everyone's interest for Muslims in Britain to become engaged in democratic political action, peaceful democratic political action. But if they're going to be smeared as terrorists when they're on their way to exercising their democratic political rights in Britain, well, the only gainers from that are the extremists, the fanatics, who want to lure the young men who are on the convoy and others like them onto the rocks of separatism, extremism, and violence. It's a very serious mistake that the police have made. Let's go back to the comment wall and take an email. This one is from the US Virgin Islands, a Mrs. Smith. Paul last week said that to fight Israel is to fight God, but he forgot one simple fact that is in the Torah itself. That is, Israelis who have been killing the people of God. I wonder what he has to say about this. Well, thanks, Mrs. Smith from the US Virgin Islands. That's definitely a first time we've had a communication from there. The general line that I take, and that I take on this program and everything else that I do, is that we oughtn't to get into the position of calling God an estate agent. God didn't give land to anyone to the exclusion of others, let alone those who were actually living there when people thousands of years after their ancestors may have left there in many cases, have decided to come back in a political project to reclaim this land and kick out the people who were living there. That's simply unacceptable to God and to everyone else, I suspect. Let's take a telephone call. Yes. Hello, caller. Where are you calling from? Hello.
Hello, Mr. Gallo. I'm calling from London.
Welcome, sir. Welcome.
I just want to say how much I enjoy watching your TV program.
Thank you.
The second time I've watched it, and I really enjoy it. I think you're a good role model for all human beings, whether it be Muslim or non-Muslim.
Thank you.
You support good causes, and I'd just like to find out a little bit more, how can I help support your cause and be an impact, just as you're being an impact on lot of people's lives.
Well, thank you very much for your kindness. You can, as I say, go to the vivapalestina.org website. You can go to georgegalloway.com. I'm here on Press TV twice a week. I'm on Talk Sport Radio every Friday and Saturday night from 10 p.m. till 1 a.m. So lots of opportunities to discuss with me and hear what I have to say. I also write a column in the Daily Record every Monday. You can get that in any good news agent. Thank you very much indeed for your kind remarks. Let's go back to the comment wall and take an SMS from the UK. Paul, how can Galloway claim to be leading the Gaza convoy? He made sure he lost no money by being sponsored to go, even paid by Press TV, scrounging goods and services for his own benefit, even doing his radio, newspaper and TV work when he's meant to be leading a convoy. Again, Galloway makes cash from our Muslim blood. Galloway serves only one God, George Galloway. Well, I'm not sure you really are a Muslim, Paul. I don't think you'd be saying those things if you were, because if you were a Muslim, you'd know that it's haram to make false accusations against people. Nobody is sponsoring me to go on the convoy. You have no idea what I earn or what I do with my money, and neither have you any right to. But as it happens, on every count, you're quite wrong. Let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Hello, George. This is Lucy in London.
Very nice to hear from you.
George, you're doing a good show. I'm sure we all appreciate it, all the truthful things that you're coming out with.
Thanks.
I was watching with great interest today the John Kerry going to Gaza.
Yes.
What do you think of that? Do you think President Obama has sent him there on a little mission to see what's really going on there, and maybe there'll be a change of attitude?
Well, very perceptive of you. I think exactly that. I think that John Kerry is a very important man in American democratic politics now. He was a serious candidate to be Secretary of State instead of Hillary Clinton. Indeed, I think he would have been a better Secretary of State than Hillary Clinton. But I think he's definitely gone there on a mission from President Obama. And it's part of the rollout of what Obama said he wanted to do, which is to talk unconditionally and face-to-face eventually with the people with whom the United States has been in an adversarial position this last 8 years under the Bush-Cheney administration. And that's all to the good. I think the slight thaw in U.S.-Iranian relations is a very good idea. I hope the U.S. will take Chavez's great victory at the weekend as a signal that Chavez isn't going to go away, that he has the support of the Venezuelan people, and that he has to be talked to. I hope they take the same view with Cuba, and I hope that they do the same in Gaza also. I think there are many things going on underneath the surface in the Gaza situation, and in the next few days, I think we might find some interesting developments. Lots more of this coming up after this. I'll be bringing you a program called Common. It's the big conversation. It's the great debate. Looking for your telephone calls, your emails, your SMSs. Make sure your email, your SMS, and above all, your telephone call gets through to me. So join me, 9:36 GMT every week. Comment, Press TV, broadcasting live from central London. You'll enjoy the debate, and that's a promise. And that's a promise we intend to keep. Let's take another caller. Yes, caller, where are you? Hello.
Yeah, hello there.
Yes, where are you, sir?
I'm from Chelmsford in Essex.
Very welcome. Thanks for calling.
First time caller. Nice talking to you.
Sir.
Okay. It's just a suggestion, right?
Yeah.
I've been thinking the problem between Israel and the Palestinians, okay, is something similar to South Africa, the apartheid. Okay?
Yes.
During the apartheid, it was the British who colonized South Africans and got lots of white British people moved to South Africa and some, like, Europeans, I would say. Okay?
Yes.
All right. South Africa, later on, after the Second World War, white South Africans claimed their independence and took over South Africa. Okay? Oppressed the blacks. There was lots of theories that they were there before the blacks and all that, which was all rubbish. Okay? Yeah. All I'm saying is, yeah, at that time, even I think during the apartheid regime, during Margaret Thatcher's regime, she even said to Nelson Mandela as a terrorist, okay? They weren't terrorists because they were freedom fighters. This same happened to the Jewish and the Israelis, rather, and the Palestinians. I am not anti-Jewish, but I'm anti-Zionism, which is Israel. Mm. Okay, I've got friends that are Jewish people, and I do talk to them about this matter. So my case, even I don't see Palestine and Israel as two-state solution. If there is two-state solution between Palestine and Israel, still there is that grudge between them two and the Arab world and the Jewish people, which might is just an arms race that will happen. Mm. Okay, like what happened to South Africa? What if Palestine and Israel join together, yeah, and form one nation?
Well, I'm with you entirely on that. It's a tiny piece of land. It's smaller than the Kruger National Park in South Africa. The whole land, Israel and Palestine together, would be smaller than one park in South Africa. Now, when the Boers in the Orange Free State asked Mandela if they could have an independent, exclusively white state, he said, we don't believe in white states and black states. We believe in democratic states. And the best thing, the best solution for the Israel-Palestine conflict is exactly what you say, that between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea, in this small land, all the people, Jews, Muslims, and Christians, live together as equal citizens under the law with one person, one vote. That would be a democratic state and would be a solution that avoided partition, avoided the arms race, and perhaps a century or more of enmity between the two entities. So a very good call indeed. Let's go back to the comment wall, take an email. This one is from where? Bill Mason in Nigeria. Don't go to Gaza, for it is Israeli waters, and you would face the same situation the illegal Lebanese aid ship did. Israel is the most holy land and a sovereign state. Peace be upon the peaceful faith. Well, of course, we're in favor of peace being upon all people of faith who behave according to the faith that they profess. The idea that the Lebanese aid ship was illegal is obviously a joke. Maybe you're very far away in Nigeria, you don't know the facts, but the Lebanese aid ship went through Cyprus, was cleared by the Cypriot authorities, and was seized in international waters. It was an act of piracy. And the Lebanese government have begun legal proceedings under the piracy laws. This ship was seized in international waters. We're not going by sea. We're going by land through Egypt, which is an independent, sovereign, Arab, Muslim country. And I expect that we'll be welcomed there. And we intend to go from there through their border with the Gaza Strip. Quite simple, Bill. Let's stay on the comment wall. Take an SMS this time. We like to mix them up. From London, Hashem. Everyone goes on about Israel defending its borders, but no one's ever shown a map of the borders. Are Hamas throwing rockets on land that is theirs in the first place? Well, Hamas are no longer throwing rockets. And we must hope that the negotiations for a truce and the opening of the border and an unfreezing of the negotiations, prisoner exchanges and the rest, go successfully. They're going slowly, but they're at least still going, and we must hope that they come to fruition. What is definitely true, Hashem, is that 80% of the people of Gaza are refugees, legally, officially, as refugees. And where are they refugees from? The refugees from the very land in the south of what they call Israel, which is the land from which they were themselves driven into a cage called the concentration camp Gaza Strip. So it's an interesting angle that you're taking there. Let's go back to the phone lines and take another telephone call. Yes, hello.
Hello.
Where are you, sir?
I'm in Middlesbrough. Well, I'm actually from Darlington, but I live in Middlesbrough.
You're welcome. Welcome. Go ahead.
My name's Ed Chan. Hi there. I'm just calling about something my mum, she's been like sending money to charities through a bank. Can I name the bank or?
Better not.
Yeah, all right then. This bank and what it is basically, she's been putting money into like Gaza, but what's happened is she's received a letter back just saying that they don't want to give money to the charity, to the Gaza charity. And like, well, I've been told by my mum that like, because they said that we don't fund the Gaza charity anymore, so they've closed the. They said that we've closed the.
The account, yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I've not heard of the Gaza charity. I do know that Interpol, which is a very reputable and highly respected and very experienced charity, is organizing in Gaza aid projects and relief work of all kinds. So my suggestion is that you go to Interpol. They had some banking problems, but they appear to have been resolved now. At least that's my latest information. Interpol is often attacked by those who hate the Palestinian people. But frankly, all these attacks have fallen away as being unfounded. So Interpol is the one that I support, and I suggest that you go to their website and see if you can help them. Thank you very much indeed for that. Let's go to the comment wall, take an SMS. Abdulkader Bauchi in Nigeria. I'd like to congratulate Iran for launching its first homemade satellite to the orbit. Now, Abdulkader, it's a very important event. We discussed it last week, I think, or the week before. The Iranians, you may have seen on the news tonight, have been cleared by the International Atomic Energy Authority, the IAEA, which is the people that we pay to police these matters, who've said again this evening, and not for the first time, that Iran, there is no evidence, no evidence, N-O evidence, that Iran is seeking to build nuclear weapons. There is every evidence that Iran's nuclear energy program is precisely that, a nuclear energy program. And its launching of a satellite isn't any threat to anyone. All sorts of countries, including our own, launch satellites regularly. And no one says that they're threatening anyone by doing so. Iran is a country that's developing, and it's developing its technology, it's developing its knowledge and science base. It's becoming a very important country in the world. Some people don't like that. And that's why they raise these hue and cry from time to time on satellites or nuclear questions. But they're all one by one falling down as allegations. Iran is having an election. It's not common in that region to have free elections for the president. Most of these countries don't have a president, and those that do don't elect them. But Iran is doing so many things in that region that deserve our admiration and respect. That's my view. But if you've got a different view, I'd especially like to hear from you on that or any other subject. I'll be back after the news with the second half of Comment on Press TV. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV. Each and every week at this time, broadcasting from central London, the capital of a country whose national debt has just doubled overnight to £2 trillion. We're talking about elections, we're talking about satellites, we're talking about every subject under the sun. You can call me on 0044-208-6014-555. You can SMS me on 0044-78-00-00-8066. And you can even leave a voicemail on 0044-203-070-2522. Now, each week at this time, we bring you cartoons that have caught the eye of our editors back there in the back office. And some are very, very good indeed. Let's see if this week's lives up to expectation. We'll take them up here on the comment wall. This one from Italy, Alessandro Gatto. It's the Palestine siege, I think. Anyway, it's the map of Palestine locked up there and riddled with bullet holes. I must say it's beautifully drawn. I think that's an exquisitely drawn a piece of work by Alessandro Gatto. Very, very good. Sent to us through the internet. Everyone can do that. Here again, from Ali Shahani or Shabani, who set Palestine on fire. And of course, no prizes for guessing Ali's point of view. He has the switch with the Israeli symbol from the Israeli flag on there, and of course, in the shape of a gun, and the region burning and of course the world at risk of being engulfed by fire by this. This one is from Spain, Martin Toca, I think. This is a Gaza cartoon. It's a dove of peace eating its way along these little pieces of grain with the trap ready to snap shut on top of it in the form of an Israeli military helmet. Powerful, powerful. Gaza is falling into darkness. There's always light after darkness, says Majid Pasha, I think. It's not very clear. Forgive me, Majid, if I've got your name wrong. Very, very powerfully depicted there, a man in the darkness in Palestine, but looking forward to the light, and let's hope that that comes up before long. Let's stay on the comment wall and take an email this time, and it's from the United States. Stacy F. Taking pictures of police in the UK is now a 10-year prison sentence. Is the UK now a police military state but presented in a mirage? Casinos, football, drugs. Do you think that George Orwell would be turning in his grave, 1984? Stacy's reference, of course, to George Orwell's great work, 1984, which was not meant to be a prophecy. It was meant to be a warning. But there are many aspects of our civil liberties that are being steadily taken away. But people fight them. Lawyers fight them. Judges fight them. Even members of the House of Lords and the House of Commons fight them. And above all, the people fight them. They will not go quietly into the good night or bad night of a police state. I don't think it's right either that you get 10 years in prison for taking a picture of a police officer. I don't know what the reference is there. Let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Yes, it's Daniel.
Yes, go ahead. Where are you?
London.
Welcome, sir.
Absolutely enraged with you.
Good. That's what we want. We want controversy and argument.
What is going on with this whole aspect of keep on criticizing Israel? What's the point? You have no idea what's happening in Israel. You have no idea what's happening in towns. You come and you say this pro-Palestinian flag, everyone waving flag, and Muslims, and you support them. I know it's nothing to do with anti-Semitism. I know that. But what is the point of keep on bashing Israel every single time? You debate with me. Talk to me.
I will talk to you as soon as you finish talking.
I want to hear your answer.
I will talk to you when you've finished talking. It's only polite to let you have your say. Are you finished?
You go ahead. You tell me why. Why, if it's not anti-Semitism, why is it anti-Israel?
Well, I think you conceded that it definitely is not anti-Semitism in the earlier part of your remarks. We despise racism here, and anti-Semitism is a foul piece of racism. It's a part, a strain of racism that led to the greatest crime of the 20th century, maybe of all previous centuries, in the Holocaust of the 1930s and 40s. So it definitely isn't anti-Semitism. And I, in my opening remarks, talked about Hugo Chavez, talked about the British national debt, talked about Barack Obama. We've talked about the thawing of relations with Iran and so on. So we do talk about many other things. We just have a point of view in this program, which says that the Palestinian people are the victims of a terrible injustice. And there are many, many Jews who agree with us on that, both in Israel and around the world, not the least of them in Britain, who are at the front of all our demonstrations for Palestine. So we have a view, you have a different view, and you're more than welcome to come on the show and argue it. Are you still there? Tell me.
I am indeed.
Go ahead. Go ahead, please.
I want to know, yes, it's not anti-Semitic, but it's anti-Israel. It's anti-one country. Why not anti-Zimbabwe? Why not anti-Arabia? Why anti-Israel? It's one tiny place, one tiny people, and you're anti-Israel all the time. It's enough.
Well, as I explained to you, the Palestinian people are a tiny people too. In fact, almost the same size as the population of Israel, and their country was wiped off the map, and they were scattered to the four winds, and a huge number of them live as refugees in appalling situations, and they want their land back, and they want their houses back, and I support them in that. You might not like that, but I have supported them in that all my life, because I think they're the victims of an injustice. Now, I'm not monomaniacal about this subject. I can talk about any other subject that you like. And in fact, we've talked about Zimbabwe many, many times on this show. But when it comes down to making a choice between being on the side of the occupier, the illegal occupier, the aggressor, the illegal aggressor, or being on the side of the victims of occupation and aggression, there's no contest for me. I will always be on the side of the victims and not on the side of the perpetrators. But you're welcome to have your say. Go ahead.
Israel is not victim. Huh?
No, definitely not. Israel,
no,
Israel's a superpower.
6,000 rockets.
And how many people were killed by the rockets?
Doesn't matter.
No, it does matter. No, it does matter because Israel is guilty. Israel is guilty, as the United Nations themselves and all the governments, actually, in the whole world, including the United States government, of grotesquely disproportionate killing in exchange for almost entirely ineffectual rocket attacks. But why are there rocket attacks? Because there's a siege. Because there's an occupation, an illegal occupation. For 41 years, Israel has defied international law, which requires it to withdraw from its occupation. And there's a siege which is starving people to death in Gaza. That's why there are eruptions of violence, albeit ineffectual violence. But I've enjoyed discussing with you. Don't make it long before you call me again. Let's go back to the comment wall and take an SMS. This one from England. Lucy, why is so-called Israel's borders again? They tried Lebanon, they've got Syria, Jordan, Egypt. Israel promote from the Euphrates to the Nile. Do they seriously think they can take Iraq? This is a reference from Lucy to the two stripes on the Israeli flag, which in the original Zionist ideal implied that the Eretz Israel, or Greater Israel, would be between the Nile and the Euphrates. Now, that's definitely not happened and not going to happen. They have enough trouble holding on to the West Bank and Gaza. It's all the more reason why we should end this conflict, isn't it? And the best way to end this conflict is to scrap all the borders, scrap all the occupation lines, settlements, and so on, and have one state where everyone, Jew, Muslim, Christian, can live together as equal citizens. Sounds like a good idea to me. Yes, caller, where are you on the call from?
Hi, my name is Ikra Latif. I am 11 years old and I'm calling from Yorkshire. I like you and your program, but I have a small complaint.
Okay.
My complaint is that you're not showing enough coverage of the Gaza convoy, but my uncle, Zahid Akbar, and my brother, Imran Fessel, are on your convoy in Morocco. Could you please send them their my Islam and love?
Very good. I'm very happy to hear that. There are 300 people from all over Britain, from families like yours, who are heroically battling through the elements to get to Gaza. And now they're in Morocco, in Fez, where I left them today. And soon, inshallah, they'll be in Palestine. So pray for them. And I think Press TV is covering this convoy more than anyone else. Lots more after this. I'm George Galloway, and I've argued with some of the most powerful people on the planet. From the US Senate on Capitol Hill, through British Prime Ministers, from Harold Wilson, through Margaret Thatcher, to Gordon Brown and Tony Blair before him. But now, I'd like to argue with you. Here on Press TV, on Comment. You can ask me your question, you can put your point of view. All you have to do is email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. Or you can SMS me on 00447800008066. I'll be here every week. You ask the questions, I give the answers. You make the arguments, I make the rebuttals. George Galloway, join me. You'll enjoy the debate, I promise. I hope you are enjoying the debate. It's been a very interesting one tonight. I hope you agree. Let's take an SMS on the comment wall. This one, Jack in Erskine in Scotland. What do you think of Obama's decision to increase the number of troops in Afghanistan? Well, Jack, I think it's a disastrous mistake. It's going to turn out to be America's new Vietnam if they continue with this policy of increasing troops. They're simply going to deepen the problem that they're in. You know, when you're in a hole, you should stop digging, because it's only going to get deeper and you're going to sink further. And I think that the whole policy on Afghanistan has to be rethought. I'm for a peace conference with all the parties involved and the neighboring countries involved, so that we can get out of this war before we sink any deeper into it. Let's take another telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Hello, I'm calling from London.
Go ahead.
Okay, my name is Anthony Mulu. I am an Ethiopian. I would like to tell you...
Unfortunately, we've lost that call. It was shaping up to be an interesting one. Let's take an SMS instead. Comment, wall, SMS, Lebanon. As Imad Mughniyeh's memorial is soon, which is on the 16th of February, what do you think of a great leader like Mughniyeh? And what about Syed Hassan Nasrallah? Well, point of view I have on Syed Hassan is many times expressed. I think he's the greatest of all the Arab leaders at this moment in time. And there's another one in an Israeli dungeon called Marwan Barghouti. I hope that he is released soon so that he can play his part in bringing unity to the Palestinian people and peace to the region, perchance. Let's take another telephone call. Hello, caller.
Hi, George.
Go ahead.
Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening to you.
The things I want to tell you, really, I like you. This is first things. Any demonstration in London, you're the number one. First, I was behind in front of the Israeli embassy. And the second thing I want to say, this gentleman was supporting Israel. I want to tell him, be honest with yourself. Your empire from west to east, don't say Israel is tiny. Zionist is all over the world. Be honest. And the second thing is just about yourself. As a Iranian man living in London and West, I know how the Jewish, they got that much power in the UK. I'm really worried about yourself. They may gonna harm you. Be careful, because we know them, how they are same as a snake.
Well, let me deal very firmly with what you've just said. First of all, I'm not afraid of anybody harming me. I'm afraid only of God. God decides. Secondly, I will not have an entire faith traduced in that way. First of all, Jewish people are not the same as Zionists. Most Zionists are not Jews. Many Jews are not Zionists. The Jews don't own the United Kingdom or own the world or the other things that you said that you should never have said, and I will not have them said on my show. This kind of conspiracy theory mentality, searching for Jews who own things, is not only immoral, not only offensive, but it's also utterly wrong. George Bush, Rupert Murdoch are not Jews. They support Israel. They support Israel's crimes, not because they are Jews or even because they like Jews, but because Israel is part of an axis involving the United States and our own country here in Britain, which is following a policy which is insupportable by any person of faith of any of the religions. Any person of faith of any of the religions, and many people of faith in all the religions oppose those policies. Let's take an SMS from Birmingham, Dukao. Obama asked in the White House briefing to name any country in the Middle East with nuclear weapons, avoided to name Israel. That's how scared Americans are about Israel. Trust me, America's not scared of Israel. Israel works for the United States rather than the other way around. I don't know the reference that you make, but I'm perfectly sure that Barack Obama knows that Israel has nuclear weapons, more than 200 of those. And by the way, we only know about those because of the brave Jewish whistleblower, Mordechai Vanunu, who spent 20 years in solitary confinement in a dungeon in Israel for telling us. Remember that. Let's take a call. Yes, caller? Hello? Hello, caller.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening, sir. Where are you?
I'm from Kent.
Go ahead.
Right, sir. The world want to disarming Hezbollah and Hamas. Why is that? Because the only team in the world supporting the Palestinian people and rest of the Arab are sleeping like a senseless Arab. They don't know anything about the Palestinian. They are the one who abandon the Palestinian people. They make peace deal like Egypt and Jordan without Palestinian people. They don't support. Only person is Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah is supporting, and Arab are supporting the Israel to disarming the Hezbollah. Can you answer about that?
Well, nobody is going to disarm Hezbollah. This was a demand, but it's never going to be implemented because Hezbollah are the national resistance movement for the people of Lebanon. Their country in the Shebaa farms remains occupied by Israel, and Israel has occupied Lebanon for many, many years, decades, in fact, over the last 40 years or so, and the Hezbollah will continue to exist as long as the threat of Israeli occupation or its reality exists. Hezbollah is a popular organization with a political arm, with a social arm, and of course with a military arm, as Israel found out in the war 2 years ago when the Hezbollah forces dealt them a very heavy blow. Thanks for that. Let's take an SMS on the comment wall. From Nigeria. My goodness, we have a lot of Nigerian viewers. Tunde Sotayo Aro. Don't damage the good image of Nigerians to the world by presenting the view of a few uninformed, spineless, and low-thinking Nigerians. I assure the world that 98% of Nigerians generally are conscientious, passionate, reasonable, and right-thinking people, solidly behind the oppressed in Palestine. Remember, Nigeria assisted South Africa to demolish apartheid. We can repeat the same for Palestine. Let us know what help the Palestinians require from Nigerians. Well, Tunde, thank you very much indeed. Of course, I know there are many, many people in Nigeria who think differently to those who correspond and sometimes call here on this show, and so they should. Nigeria is a former colony occupied by settlers. Nigeria is a mighty country in a continent that was scarred by colonialism and by apartheid. So the great people of Nigeria can help the Palestinian people. You can go to vivapalestina.org and you can donate to help the convoy. And we're fundraising for that convoy right up to the last minute when we cross the border. Thanks for that. Let's take another call. Yes, caller? Hello, caller?
Hello, George.
Yes, sir.
I was going to talk about Iran and the fact that hardly ever Iran gets mentioned as a dictatorship, the system that which it is. And I know that role of America in trying to keep Iran under a dictatorship because it somewhat suits the purposes.
Why do you say that Iran is a dictatorship?
Because Iran cannot elect anybody they want, basically.
Well, the 28 million people voted in the last presidential election. That's rather more than vote here.
Yeah, the process of elimination of candidates before the election is what...
But this is their constitution, and if the people didn't want it, they'd rise up against it like they did with the Shah.
Pacification of Iranian people during the last few years, during the revolution, through drugs and direct killing and torture, has been one of the reasons that we have this constitution. And I am not here to just bash Iran. I do have same sentiment as you have against America and Britain interference in the affairs of the region. I am not here to justify any of their actions. What I'm saying is that we will only be legitimate in what we're saying and what we're doing if we bring everything into the context, as well as atrocities of America and Britain and other countries. We must also mention that Iran has failed to produce democracy or provisions for the people like Cuba has. We've got abject poverty, rising unemployment, drug addiction, prostitution. There's nothing is justification. You don't have to have a proper defense system against America and therefore not have democracy and freedom and prosperity in your own country.
Well, I think the first point that needs to be made is that it's some kind of dictatorship that allows you onto its television screen to make the kind of allegations you've made, which I don't think are justified. The Iranian Revolution is 30 years old. In that 30 years, some good things have happened, some bad things. But the Iranian people rose up and overthrew a dictatorship. They support the Islamic Revolution in their country. They have elections, unlike the other countries in the region. And 28 million people voted for the president last time. They wouldn't have voted if they didn't have faith in that system. They'd have stayed away from the polls at the very least, if not be out on the streets revolting against the system. That's my point of view, but yours was got across as well. I hope you'll join me again next week at the same time on Comment on Press TV.